Praise God. Well, Lord, just use these simple words of mine once again for your honor and your glory. Amen. Well, how many times did Grace use the word peace this afternoon? How many times? Seven or eight times, I think she used the word peace. There's my cue, yeah. I'm talking about peace, the peace of God. And how many of you use word for today? And what did it talk about this morning? Stress. Can you turn me down a bit, Martin, please? I've got some feedback there. Thank you. Some stress, and the answer is the peace of God. And strangely enough, in the word for today, it used the very text that I want to speak on today. So I think I've got to talk about peace somehow or other, don't you? And it's a well-known verse. John 16:33, Jesus said, I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Jesus, you will have peace. Yeah. Peace. In the world you will have tribulation, yeah. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Right. Well-known text, favorite text of many of us, that in Jesus there is peace. I wondered how many times the word peace appeared in Scripture, and it's 147 according to one of the texts that I looked at. Over 147 times the word peace appears in Scripture. So it must be important. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah chapter 9. Just a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 9 to set the scene. Again, some famous verses, prophetic words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So it talked about government there, and there's been a lot of coverage about government recently over the past 6 weeks or so, and now we have a new government. And of course we pray that the Lord, his hand will be upon whatever happens in this country, a country that in times past was known as a Christian country. Would to God that we were in that position now, because it feels very different in terms of the things that are happening in this country of ours. Of course, we all strive for a peaceful and contented life. We want to be blessed of God. We want to live under his wing, under his protection, to be protected from the storms of life. And how wonderful it is, how magnificent it is that we can actually say that we are sons, daughters of God, children of God, and that we can bathe in his love as a consequence, and that we can have his love and his peace. How wonderful. Now, you all know I've been missing for a few weeks because I've been on holiday to Crete. Fantastic place to go to, very hot, beautiful place. And I wondered how many times in Scripture Crete was mentioned. And it's mentioned 6 times in Scripture, mostly by Paul. And when I got there, I found the people of Crete to be very friendly, very hospitable, very kind. I found the country itself to look beautiful and glorious, fantastic mountains, beautiful blue sea. The food was wonderful. It was just lovely to be in Crete and also to be there with my son. In the book of Titus, chapter 1, Paul talks about what a prophet says about Cretan people, who calls Cretan people liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. I've been with these folks for 3 weeks. What a reputation for them to have, and what a reputation for it to be written in Scripture, in the Bible, that people in Crete, the Cretans, are evil beasts, lazy gluttons. But of course, they were talking about their attitude to God. Yeah. The fact that they were not in tune with God. I found a church in Crete where the people were just the opposite. Oh, and although they spoke in Greek, you know, the saying, it's all Greek to me. Yeah. They spoke in Greek. They praised the Lord in Greek. They gave headphones to the visitors so that we had ongoing translation. And they preached the word of God. Amen. You know, they weren't beasts. They weren't evil people. They weren't lazy gluttons. They were people who spoke the word of God, spoke of the blood of Jesus, spoke about healing, prayed for people, preached the gospel, and how good it was to find in a foreign country brothers and sisters who love and know the Lord. And no doubt they know their reputation as written in Scripture too. And they are living for Jesus and proclaiming the gospel. What a difference to meet people like that. Difference from the prophet that is written about in Titus. I was near a city called Hania. Again, a beautiful place. Lovely flat sea, a great big, one of the deepest ports in the world. And every day I could see ships cruising up and down. Warships, not ordinary container ships, warships, big destroyers, aircraft carriers, and although I didn't see any, I know that there are submarines in this great big beautiful area that is a deep port. They're American soldiers, American ships, American aircraft carriers, American destroyers, and every day I heard the boom of supersonic aeroplanes overflying Crete. The world's in a mess, isn't it? The world is in a mess. If you can imagine the location of Crete in the Med, stretches across the bottom of Greece. To the east is Israel, Gaza. Enough said about the trouble there. Syria and Lebanon. To the north is the rest of Greece. To the south is Egypt and Libya and Africa. And to the west is Italy and eventually the way out of the Med. So you can see that Crete is in a very strategic position for warmongering man. No wonder that they have these great big warships aeroplanes, aircraft carriers, just cruising about, ready for war in this unstable world. What a beautiful place Crete is, and yet you see these massive armed forces just waiting for the day that they have to be used. And so how glad I was to be able to meet in fellowship with people who had the love of God in them, shining from them in a different way from how they were described by Paul. When Paul writes, he often starts his letters by saying, "Grace and peace be unto you." Often a greeting between followers of Christ. Peace be unto you. It's part of our inheritance. It's part of our eternal gift. It's part of our salvation. It's a gift of God that we, as believers, as Christians, as children of God, can have peace. A real deep-seated peace in our lives. Whatever happens to us, whatever tribulation, whatever trials might come our way, and I know we've all suffered them, at the same time we can say that we have the peace of God in our lives. Jesus spoke of peace. He was fully aware of the troubles in the world, as from the text that I read. "These things I have told you, that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Notice that Jesus was saying this to his disciples in those simple times compared to where we are now. But nonetheless, they were troubled times for them too. Different from where we are now, but still, Jesus felt it necessary to say, "You can have my peace." Yes. Yeah. How? Well, Jesus doesn't make a difference in your life. He makes the difference in your life. Yeah. The difference. He is the one that brings that peace that passeth all understanding, as Grace mentioned earlier. Peace that passeth all understanding. If you don't know the love of God, if you don't have this peace in your heart now, it's something that you need and should experience, because it is the gift of God. As I said, time and again, Scripture talks of peace and how wonderful it is that we can experience that peace. In Colossians chapter 1, we read that in Jesus all fullness dwells, and having made peace through his blood on the cross. And through his blood we are reconciled to him. He bought our peace on that cross. He gave us that peace through that sacrifice on the cross. Our peace is bought through the blood of Jesus, through that sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. And of course, it is an integral part of our salvation within us. Whatever happens within us, peace. Now, we know this world's in a mess. You've only got to look at the news. Whether you get all the truth or not from it, I don't know, but you watch the news. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, all sorts of things happening in the world. Signs of the times, as we know. What have we got to do? We've got to keep our eyes not on those troubles in the world, but fixed on God. And you know, there will become a time when God will no longer have any more patience with what's going on in the world. He will have had enough up to here. And he will return for his children. But we also know, because we heard prophetic words very recently that he's preparing spiritual weapons for battle, for battles against principalities and powers. Because there is going to be even further trouble across this world. However that will be manifest, I don't know whether it will be in spiritual or physical terms. Who knows? God knows. I don't know, but he does. But we were given an assurance, weren't we? That we, as saints of God, despite the fact that there is trouble afoot, we will be untouched. Yeah. As I said before, we are under his wing. Amen. And when these troubles come, the world will know the magnificence of God. Yeah. They will know. Every knee shall bow to his power and his righteousness. Praise God. But friends, we need to be ready. As Helen was saying, it's no good just having the words. You need to have the faith, and through faith, the actions. We need to have that faith. Do you remember the wedding feast and the lamps that were burning bright? And the lamps that ran out of oil. Make sure your lamps are trimmed, full of oil, full of the grace of God, ready for when the Lord comes, for when he does whatever he's going to do. And we need to stand and be counted in these difficult days. Why? Because we are children of God. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to John 14, please? Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all things that I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace, not as the world gives. The world will find and seek solace, such as it is, in the pleasures of the world. Drugs, alcohol, whatever. That satisfaction is temporary. Of no consequence. The only long-lasting peace and satisfaction is in Jesus. My peace, he said, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Because the world ain't got any peace, folks. Again, look at the news. The words of Jesus are quite clear. He has given us, as children of God, peace. Not earthly, temporal peace. His gift, unspeakable. Through the Holy Spirit, I believe it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, we read of gifts of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And peace is definitely a gift of the Holy Spirit, deep-seated in our hearts and part of the righteousness of God. In Isaiah, it also says that we should keep him in our hearts and in our minds, and as a consequence, he will keep us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on. Modern technology. See, there's trouble in the world. Even the technology catches us out. Keep him in perfect peace. He will keep us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on him. So quite clearly, the route to peace is keeping our eyes on God.
Thank you. Be of good cheer. We'll find a mic that works. So, clearly, we have a responsibility, we have a need, a requirement to stay focused on God, to acknowledge him in all our ways. And we know then that he is directing our paths, his glorious paths, his paths of peace. Praise God. Again, if you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Philippians chapter 4? Again, famous verses, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is the promise of God, a promise of peace for you and for me. But let's think about what the context of that, those few verses are. Before it, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So before you get the peace, you need to be rejoicing in the Lord. And what does it say after those verses? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. It's telling you where your mind should be. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. So there are things to do to get this peace. Yes, it's a gift of God, but we have a responsibility too. Along with these promises of peace which transcend our understanding, there are these actions that we need to take. Simple actions, but to attain peace, we need to do them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks to the Lord always. Pray. So communicating with God always, continually, all the time. And think about good things. Those are the rules, those are the conditions that God expects in return he will give us. That wonderful peace within our hearts. The gift of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. So the Lord of peace, he is, you know, we say God is love. God is also the Lord of peace. And in Romans 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. So, with God, not on our own, not by ourselves, he's with us. Peace through Jesus, not of ourselves. So the message is clear. Perfect peace comes from God. Nothing we can do in our lives will satisfy us. It will be temporary at best. But through faith, we can have the wondrous, wonderful peace of God. Now, many of you know that I used to like to go to sea a lot. I had the privilege of going to sea. And the sea is a very dangerous thing. You have to treat it with respect. A wave will come and knock you over, and before you can say Jack Robinson, another wave will be there and knock you over again. And then another wave and another wave. It is relentless. It will knock you over and knock you over again. You know, Satan will try and do that. He'll try and knock you down, and when you're down, he'll try and knock you down again. And he will try and knock the joy and the peace of God out of your hearts. He wants to defeat you. He wants to take you to a lost eternity, a godless eternity. He wants you to have no peace. The message is quite clear, folks. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on that goal, Jesus Christ. And say those words, get behind me, Satan. Or grind him into the ground under your feet. Don't give him any credence in your life whatsoever. Do you remember the account of the disciples in the boat going across the Sea of Galilee? Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And Jesus fell asleep. I've done that often, fallen asleep on a boat. Rocks you to sleep. But then a great storm came, and the disciples were afraid. They were in the presence of God, yet they were afraid. They didn't realize who he was to the extent that they should have realized. But Jesus was asleep, resting in the boat. And the waves came one after another, and another wave came. And they were scared. And they cried out to Jesus saying, don't you care, don't you care? Jesus, we're going to drown, we're going to drown. What did Jesus do? He stood up and said, peace. And then be still. Peace. Be still. And what happened? The wind stopped. The waves stopped. The sea was calm. And they traveled to the other side, as Jesus had promised that they would do anyway. You know, I love those words in that account. Because the disciples looked at Jesus and said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. What manner of man is this Jesus? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Well, folks, I have to tell you, he was the one that created the wind and the waves. He was the one that created the earth, the stars, the sun, the moon, the sky. He is in control. And a word from him, everyone, everything obeys. God is in control. And thank God, as a consequence of that control and his power and his might, what can we have? His peace. Perfect peace. Do you remember Simeon? The priest that saw Jesus when Jesus was just 8 days old. Simeon had been waiting all his life to see the Messiah. He knew that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And on this particular day in Luke chapter 2, it records it, they brought Jesus to Simeon. He looked at this baby. And what did he say? What did he say? Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Two things there. One, even as a child, a baby child of only 8 days old, that peace emanated from that baby because it was God. That baby was God. And the other thing is that that man Simeon could face death in peace because he had seen and recognized and touched and held the Son of God. Lord, let your servant now depart in peace. In Revelation, we were talking about Revelations a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? There are messages to the seven churches, one of the churches in Ephesus. It says, you have lost your first love. Or you could say you've lost your peace. You've lost the peace that God had given you when you first turned to God. You've lost that first love. Can I ask you, do you still feel that peace of God in your life? Are you still rejoicing in his salvation? Do you still feel the enthusiasm, the joy, the blessing, the closeness of being with God because you are a child of God that you knew when you first came to God? Or do you not know it at all? Have you never experienced that peace, that love, that joy? God was saying to the church at Ephesus to remember their first love, to then repent, and then to retune, to get back in touch with God, so that the fullness of his joy can be experienced in your life. Not partially. Later on, further in the chapter, it talks about being lukewarm. And as a consequence of being lukewarm to a different church, God says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold. And if you are just lukewarm, spit you out. Get rid of you. The joy of the Lord is being full of the glory of God, to enjoy his peace, to enjoy his salvation, to enjoy what he has for you and for me, praise God. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be close to him. You know, God wants you to be close to him. This is God who wants you, wants me. How wonderful. How wonderful. Again, if you are feeling a little bit cooler in your faith, just rethink it and draw closer to God. If you don't have a faith, it's time to get hold of that faith today. In 1 Peter, he tells us about Satan going about like a roaring lion. Just remember, he says he's like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, he's just a pretender. He also tells us of fiery trials and tells us that we will also share in the sufferings of Christ as Christians, as believers, as disciples. It's not always a bed of roses, despite the fact that we will have his peace within us. Peter also says that we partake in the glory of God. Amen. That he is the good shepherd. That we should be humble. And as a consequence, God will exalt us. The difference between the damage Satan seeks to do and that the glory that God will give us as disciples, as followers of him. And, friends, just to say this word yet again, the peace that he will give us that passeth all understanding. So a simple message. One of the rewards of being a disciple of Jesus is to have that wonderful peace of God. Peace I give you, not as the world gives. Peace of God, the grace of God, the love of God, peace. So I'll finish with the same words that Peter finishes his epistle. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. The issue there and the meaning of that sentence is the peace is yours, conditional upon you being in Christ. Take that gift, friends, if you haven't got it. And if you have got it, go deeper and closer to the Lord each day. Amen.
Like getting into God.
Yeah, I was talking about a book I was reading, and it's talking about revival. And many years ago, we were all into revival. We all wanted to be revived. We wanted God to revive us. We wanted God to set us on fire, and we still do. And I'm reading this book, and I got it at Christian Booksellers Exhibition many years ago, and I looked at it, 2008. And now we're in 2024, and we've not got any further into revival than we were then. It's like God, revive us. Revive us, God. It's easy to talk about it. It's another thing to get revived. You're on your deathbed, you want reviving. You want reviving before it's too late. When you've got a problem, you want the answer now. It's no good next week, you need the answer now. If you're sat in an exam and you're stuck on a question, you need the answer before that paper's got to be handed in. You need the answer when you need the answer. And sometimes you have to wait a long time for the answer. And this book also was talking about the presence of God. And many times here, well, let's come and let's enter into God's presence. No. If God is everywhere, you are always in his presence. It would be more correct to say, Lord, give me a sense of your presence. I mean, it'd be a bit weird. I mean, I've heard this said before. It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? When Charles comes in and he'll sit down, you know, it's like in his presence. But I can't feel you. You know, I can't feel you. Pauline walks in. Hello. But I can't feel you. So she can't be here because I can't feel her. And with God, with the same, if we can't feel him, we think he's not here. Not true. God is always here. The question is are you receptive? Yeah. That is always the question. Now, to the testimony. I got up this morning, and for the first time in over 12 years, I got out of bed this morning and there was no pain. I went to bed in pain last night. I've been getting up in pain every morning. But this morning it was different. And let me tell you, it's not been for want of believing. Grace will tell you, I've been fighting this fight for a long time. And it's with God. You know, you fight the fight, but you're not on your own. And you might think, well... And I have thought over the years, well, how much longer? God did say at one time, it's going to be a long time, but dear God, I didn't think it wouldn't be this long. But you know, you're not going to win your fights, you're not going to win your battles if you side with the wrong team. You're not going to win a victory if you don't get into the fight. And at the end of the day, the battle belongs to the Lord. You are fighting, but you're not fighting in your own strength. That's why you have got weapons of warfare. And the weapons of warfare are not there to be read about. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I've got the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, hello, I've got some gospel shoes. Well, good for you. What are you doing with them? Oh, I've got my shield of faith. Great. Are you using it? You know, you get soldiers in battle and they look the part. But unless they actually fulfill the role of a soldier, they might as well stop at home. And we are in a battle. And as I say, it's gone on for a long time and I'm still without pain. There were times this morning that you're sort of thinking, well, surely it's going to hurt soon. And she's like, no, no, wrong thinking. Switch that off. You get what you say, you get what you believe for. I'm not believing that I'm going to feel any more pain. I'm believing those days are over and we're going to move from strength to strength. And not only am I physically going to move from strength to strength, but we as Harvest Fields are going to move from strength to strength. It's time that this revival takes place. There are people in this neighborhood that need to hear about Jesus. They need to get a grip on Jesus. I'm not sure what day it was last week, but some of you will remember the couple that used to live across the road. He ended up going to prison. She moved to Bentley. She's back in Sandringham Road. The police were at her door this week. The armed police. Drugs and guns. And people were blaming her husband. But her husband's in jail. And this neighbourhood has got a drugs and guns problem. And so we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to start and believe that these drugs and guns are pushed out. We've got the authority in this neighborhood, not the devil. We are the kings and priests around here, not the devil. And we declare as a fellowship, the days of drugs and guns in this neighborhood and violence are over. They're over because Jesus is the one in the authority in this neighborhood, not the devil. And we need to stand our ground. Like I say, it's been a long 12 years. And there's been opportunities to give up. When I was, I said to Grace, quitters never win. If you quit before your success is there, you don't win. And you've not heard me say this for a long time. But a lot of people say that I can't win for losing. Ha, ha, ha. Are they not wrong? Because let me tell you this, I can't lose for winning. Amen. And you are the same. Don't quit. Stand your ground. And even if it looks like it's taking forever, you'll get there, but you'll only get there with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Helen. Amen. Praise God. God's talking to us today. Rob wants to say something too. Come on, Rob. There's a few of us been in the wars this past few weeks. It's good to see them, some gritting the teeth while they're doing it, but they're going to get there. Amen, because God's in charge.
What does Andrew say? When you're ill, come to church. You've heard me talk about my old friend who sadly passed away, and his brother-in-law and sister. I told you the story, didn't I, about him breaking their ankle, etc., and he's having a hip replacement. Well, last night we went to see them, and Tabs kindly sorted Carol out in the shower, being a nurse as she can, bless her. And Arthur, for some reason, we don't know what, well, we do know what he's done, because he's a bit stubborn. He stood on his new hip leg and put all his weight on it and caused himself a problem. So Tab said to him last night, he was trying to explain to him that it's part of your hip up here and down there, it's still the same muscles and things that work. I'll pray for you, she said. So she started praying for him. He never shut up, did he? He just carried on talking about something. And then this morning, I phoned Carol up to see how it gone on last night. And she said, he's turned round and said, he calls her Tabernacle. That's his pet name for her. He says, tell Tabernacle that I'm feeling a lot better and thank her for my prayers. So something, something's going through, isn't it? And we just have to pray that it carries on. Also this morning, I was going to see a friend who's almost blind and he was having problems with his guitar. I said, I'll come through and have a look. So I'm just about to get myself sorted out on motorbike. All kitted out, just got bike out, and the heavens opened. And I thought, okay. So I went in the car. And afterwards, I thought, thank you, Lord, because you knew I weren't fit enough to ride that bike. Yeah. And me, I'd have got on it and done it. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? And he looks after us, and that's my testimony.
Thank you, Rob. That was fabulous. So many different ways that we're all seeing God at work. It's encouraging. You never know. What you say might just speak straight into somebody's situation. So We must never hold back. Our testimony is extremely powerful. So let's keep sharing it. I was sharing it with a lady on Thursday when we were at Filey. And yeah, she knew God to a degree, but she wasn't at all hostile. She was very receptive to what was being said. And we had a really good conversation. And she said to me, "Oh, I have so enjoyed meeting you." And I said, "Well, you need to meet Jesus. You need to get connected to him." And yeah, praise God. We'll keep praying. We always need to persevere, don't we? Because God will give us the breakthrough. When I woke up this morning, what was on my mind was, you are the Lord of the breakthrough. Well, if it takes 19, 20, 25, 30 years, I don't care. He's still the Lord of the breakthrough. And we keep looking. God said when we brought us here, he brought us here by a miracle. He gave us the money to pay for it, a miracle. And he said, I will fill this place. So that's the next miracle. And I'm not taking my eyes off the promise. Amen? Don't look at what you see. Don't ever get discouraged. Keep your eyes on God, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.